Welcome to the City Gospel Movement's podcast. This is a special series sharing the Adaptable Playbook, a framework for success for your evangelism team. Together, we'll explore 11 proven steps that really work for cities across North America who want to raise the temperature of evangelism in their communities. We will hear from practitioners in these cities, humble leaders who have wrestled faithfully with the challenges these steps address. We hope you will leave these conversations encouraged and equipped to own the lostness of your city, one step at a time. To learn more about evangelism teams, the Adaptable Playbook, or what God is doing through collaborative evangelism efforts across North America, visit citygospelmovements.org. Today we will hear from Stacy Michelson, Executive Director of the Emmanuel Gospel Center, a Boston-based nonprofit that helps churches respond faithfully to the realities of their city through applied research, strategic partnerships, and spirit-led innovation. EGC's current work includes mapping the spiritual landscape of Boston, elevating local wisdom, and equipping churches to live out the gospel with clarity, humility, and courage. Today she will share about step 5, executing a listening tour in your city. In this step, you will survey a large sample of leaders in your city to gauge the existing temperature of evangelism. Knowledge gained through this survey is a foundation for the vision and strategy for your E-team in the coming years. Producing a report of your findings is an important step in the process. A listening tour also deepens your relationship while building trust and ownership around a collaborative evangelistic vision for your city. How are leaders in my city thinking about evangelism? A humble posture builds trust, develops understanding, and strengthens relationships. A listening tour is one of the best ways your team can be at the center of the conversation around evangelism in your city. Let's hear what this looks like in practice as we dive into today's conversation between Stacy and Chris.
Well, thank you guys for joining us on the Adaptable Playbook podcast. We're excited to have a good conversation today with our friend Stacy Michelson from Emmanuel Gospel Center in Boston. Stacy is the right person to be talking about this subject with because Emmanuel Gospel Center is all about research. They've been around over 80 years in the Boston area, and they're doing innovation based on research, right? So you're collecting the data, you're innovating, and then you're telling the story of what happened, which is exactly what we hope happens when you do a listening tour. And so, Stacy, it's so wonderful to have you on the podcast today.
Great to be here, Chris.
Stacy is pretty critical to this because as we started really thinking through how would we do a listening tour really well, it's kind of one of those things that's like, well, who knows how to do this? Who's already doing this? Who's done this before? Who's done some thinking on this, right? We're not experts at everything. We got to go find people who know what they're talking about. And Stacy, you're kind of that, you're that person for us. You're the person that we started asking questions and it's like, Stacy knows what she's talking about. Oh, they've done this before. Oh, they've learned before in Boston how to sort of collect people's thoughts and present a vision with it, right? Like it's such a powerful process. So I'm just going to start at a very high level. We're talking about this idea of doing a listening tour. And in some ways, it feels like that is a departure from the activity of like being on mission, you know, like, hey, we've got this mission to reach our city. Why don't we stop and do some research? It's just kind of, I think a lot of people are like, I don't want to stop and do that. Stacy, how would you engage that question? Like if we're trying to increase evangelism, why would you stop and do something like a listening tour?
Yeah, great question. So for anybody listening that's not familiar with what a listening tour is, let's just quickly carve that out. So you're taking some time to talk to people who you know and people who you don't in your city, who are church and ministry leaders, to understand their approach to evangelism and what they're learning about. And that kind of baseline, to understand what the baseline of a city is, like we shouldn't take it as a presupposition that we even understand, because we all have blind spots and we come to the work humbly of you can't know what you don't know until you're trying to look in the rearview mirror and get some data. And so we never tend to want to lead with like, stop what you're doing and then do a research project. It's actually, what are you doing and how can that be more grounded and informed? And in places that you're a little bit more blurry on the story or places where you're not sure who's out there, you're going to throw some intentionality to make sure that you're building connections and understanding stories that are happening there.
Yeah, that's a really good way to say that. I mean, if you had a team, like a staff or whatever, people that you're working with, and you wanted to do a project, you would probably talk to them first, right? Like,
exactly.
You'd probably have a meeting of like, hey, what do you think? Should we do this? Should we do that? And so when you're talking about a city network, you're talking about engaging the city, trying to do something like raise the temperature of evangelism in a city, which is what, you know, the E-team kind of effort is all about. It's like, wouldn't you want to talk to your team, you know, and try to figure this out? So you guys have done this. You're kind of in the middle of this actually right now in Boston. Tell us a little bit of your process and what you're doing there now.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. So Boston is a city that is like resistant sometimes to outside intervention or full city scale projects. We really like the homegrown. So our E-team was really starting with this understanding that there's multiple networks in Boston. Some of them are overlapping, some of them are not, and they don't always move fluidly, especially for things like discipleship and evangelism amongst them. And so the Boston E-team started by carving out who are churches that we're not really talking to, understanding geographically, demographically, denominationally, where are our linkages weak? And how do we make sure that we're prioritizing? So we actually compiled a list of like, here are the 50 people that we're trying to talk to, and started off doing 20 interviews to do like a little pretest. Because originally the team was like, let's do 100 interviews. And that number was pulled out of by the air by someone who thought that that was a shiny number. And it was totally overkill for where we needed to start. So the team interviewed 20 people. I think one of the strongest benefits was the connections that our pastors were making with other pastors who they didn't know well. We did a preliminary report. What are we learning here? And then adjusted our questions from that. And then now we're trying to engage more churches from there.
So in that process, in order to take action, right? Like it's kind of like you have to stop and go, okay, what are we going to do? Who do we want to participate in this? You're talking about Boston being unique in the sense of like, you don't want someone coming in from outside, flying in with a big agenda and try to sell that to everyone. Now you're sort of a salesman, as opposed to sort of collecting the vision, saying, hey, here's what I'm hearing from everybody. So now we can go together because we've had a conversation, like a family conversation, right?
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I love a preliminary report. Because giving some people something to react to is really helpful. Because people will want to say like, hey, my opinion's not reflected in there, or you didn't get me right. And so actually saying like, here's what we're starting to learn, and inviting people even into the journey of like interacting with that. So we presented that to a group of pastors at another citywide event that was happening. And I've got a story from another city, and I won't name the city, but when I was helping the city with a listening tour, they zone out their city, and they kept talking about a certain zone where there wasn't a lot of gospel movement happening. And as I was asking some questions about it, this zone had a particular ethnic demographic to it. And I was a little suspicious. I was like, I don't know. Is it really that there's not a lot of gospel action happening here? Or is it that you're not connected with the gospel action happening? And so we made sure to put that in the report. Like, hey, we interviewed people from all these zones, but this zone's a little thin. We're missing this information. And that's a gap in our knowledge. So they presented the report to 150 church leaders at an annual gathering. And they had somebody from that area come up to them that was like, I can't believe we're not represented here. The gospel, the Lord is at work in this area. Like, our voice has to be heard. Basically saying like, this is a gap for you. I would like to help you, because none of us want there to be a gap there. So I think starting with something, understanding your baseline better, and then it invites more people to either confirm it, be like, yes, God is at work that way. Or maybe I don't agree, but can we talk? And if you're doing it in a humble, learning posture way, I think people want to add in the missing pieces for you.
Yeah, that's really good. I think I was thinking as you were sharing that, it's like, it's almost like you're doing a diagnosis, right? It's like, is there something wrong at all? What is that? Where can we act? And even the idea of let's do 100 interviews. It's like, where did you get that idea? Where did you get that number? And it's kind of like saying, we should all go do this. It's like, why do you think that? It's the process of slowing down and taking the humility of like, hey, maybe I don't know every single thing that's happening in Seattle. Maybe you don't know everything that's happening in Boston. And let's learn for a minute. Let's stop and see what we don't know. and maybe even confirm what we think we know. I think it's Mark Twain who says, we don't get in trouble by what we don't know. We get in trouble by what we think we know, and we're wrong. Good. You know?
Absolutely.
So it's like just confirming what's out there. And I often think of that idea. Jesus literally calls himself the truth, which is pretty intense. It's like, well, let's line up with that. Let's line up with the truth so that we can act in a way that's in accordance with the kingdom and in movement with the Spirit, so that we can see things happen. So, you know, so we can see that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. So help me understand, why is it that Palau is so heavily encouraging these listening tours?
Yeah, good question. I think there's the history of this happening in Portland and knowing how valuable that was for the city of Portland, that they're like, oh man, everybody should do this. You know, something is working. Let's replicate that. I think theologically, you look at something like, you know, the book of Nehemiah, where it's, he goes, he looks at the disrepair of the wall, and he looks at, you know, in that day, it's like, if you don't have a wall, you're not safe. Like you're not covered. So he sees that disrepair, and he makes a plan where he's like, we need this many timbers. We're requesting, you know, army to travel with the resources. I mean, he makes a full plan after assessing what's going on. And to skip that assessing piece, to me, feels like you're not going to be successful, ultimately.
That's good. Even understanding these things that we have in common, about where they could be shared resource. So I was talking to two cities within a couple weeks of each other, and one, their report was showing that most of the pastors, in describing what was happening well in evangelism, were talking about connection to the Spirit, Spirit leading, discernment, and kind of like what was apprehended in prayer. And simultaneously, another city was like, nobody mentioned prayer, not one time. Now, no one's disagreeing. And it's not like, oh, this city is doing so great and this city is doing terrible. That's not what the reports were showing. But what that does show is that over here, we have kind of a common resource that we can leverage. And because it's so in hand, that city can like really leverage it together because they're already moving in a direction. Over here, we have a gap. Super easy to leverage a gap too, because like you can't throw a rock without hitting a Christian who cares about prayer. It's part of our spiritual tools that we have. And so even something that seems so common, we all would come to the table agreeing that prayer is a necessary component of evangelism. Your approach, or therefore your strategy, which I think a lot of people care about, like, how is this going to inform my strategy? Like, does the understanding my baseline really translate? It absolutely does. Now, sometimes you'll discover things that are a no-brainer, like, hey, prayer would be helpful, but really understanding the texture and the depth within your context will be a helpful starting point for strategy building.
Yeah, that's awesome. I think that's very helpful. Let me do a small commercial really quick. Stacy and our team, we kind of collaborated on building a toolkit around this, right? So we have things like, here's some sample interview questions. We have some different structures, some templates. We have like a pathway you could use of building a baseline and, you know, kind of a couple of steps there all the way through sharing what you've learned with the city. We've got some different options. So like our first listening tour, which this is I'd like your thoughts on this, Stacy, because I've actually was wondering this the other day. Like, we actually didn't do a listening tour at first. We did like a survey. It was like I think it was a Survey Monkey, you know, just like survey that we sent out to about 80 people. We got some great feedback. But in that, we didn't actually develop a relationship with anyone. We just kind of got some information. But there is some value to that too. But just like, what are the listening tour options? What do they do for you? All of this stuff is in a toolkit. It'll be in the podcast notes, but you should definitely go check all that out. Our goal today is just to kind of say, hey, this is a really important thing you should be considering as you're looking at a strategic view of your city, as you're trying to discern, okay, what would the Holy Spirit have us to do? Lean on that strategic side, right? Like that wisdom piece of like, well, let's go hear what key actors are doing so that we can get a sense of really what's going on. We want to walk with you in that, but it's really a critical process. So, okay, a couple quick questions. That was my commercial.
I would say there's a lot out there, but it really breaks down to two things. One, you have to know your goal, even of the listening tour, before you start. You don't need to meet with 120 people if the thing that you're looking for is testing out a very particular kind of synergy. But if you're new to town and you don't know anybody, maybe you should be talking to 100 people. So one, do not start your listening tour without being able to say to yourself, here is what I hope to do with the information at the end. Not just like what would be nice, but here's what I'm going to do with it. And the second thing is, do not collect any data until you have a plan of how you're going to treat the data, like who's going to look at it, how is it going to be understood. And I feel like if you answer, there's a lot of tools that Palau has to guide you through that, as Chris is referencing. But as long as you're asking those two questions, you'll stay in the safe zone and get a lot of return on your investment.
If you don't know where you're headed, what questions are you asking? You know, but being really overt about that, I would say writing that down somewhere.
Exactly.
And having somebody else look at it, you know, especially if you're a solo operator. If you have a team, obviously, as a team, you need to kind of discern that together. What are we actually doing here? What is our hope and what is our aim? I think that's, yeah, that's pretty critical. And then the process of creating the interviews, doing the interviews, what, you know, kind of that middle piece. What are some of your top 2-3 best practices there, Stacey? So we've got our plan. We know what we're going to do with it at the end, although we'll talk about that a little bit later here. But in the middle, it's like, okay, now we're going to write our questions and actually go do our interviews. What are some of your key, you know, best practices there?
Yeah, so there's a starter guide that shows, I think, some quality questions. As a baseline, you want to make sure that you're asking some positively and negatively oriented questions. I really like asking people's perspective off of unique resources that the city has and also unique challenges, and then immediately asking how people are adapting to that challenge. You don't want to be creating something that is going to be, at the end of it, we're all going to feel great, but no one's going to know like what the growth edge is here. And you also don't want it having so much growth edge that we're also not encouraging like positive stories. I also would say too, is you want to warm people up in interviews by asking personal questions, but just know that you're going to need to do something with everything you collect. So one city, I think it used to be that the first question in some like testing, because I think Portland did it, they asked people like what their, how they came to know the Lord, which is rich. It was the longest part of the interviews. It could be analyzed narratively, but that takes a lot of time. And it, so it's like people were, and this is at a time where people were theming out the entirety of that. So a team is spending hours trying to understand that, but it didn't actually lead to understanding where those churches were at. So that was a really good interpersonal question versus actually yielding results. Now, I'm not saying just drive all questions for data. I'm saying be balanced and understand, is this question, even just the thought exercise of, is this question that I'm asking going to answer the thing that I want it to? And just playing that out for yourself. How would you answer that question? And did you answer the question under the question? And maybe you want to just ask the question under the question, but it will take some practice. So I really like whoever is going to be your interviewer. So if you have an E-team, 4 or 5 people, you come up with your questions. The first thing you should do is interview one another. And then you talk about, how did that play out for me? Which questions did I hate answering? Which did I hate asking? Did that even give us good information there? Because if your own team didn't like that process or didn't like a question, it's probably a good test case that's not a good question for your city. And then after you talk it through, you look at your question list again and adapt it. And then I think you're ready to start talking to people.
Yeah, I mean, you probably just save people a lot of time right there just by that, you know, just by asking that, going through the process yourself. Wow, that was way too long. What does that question even mean? You know, two people answer it completely differently. I love that. I think your comment about how did you find the Lord being a really great relational builder question, but maybe not a great data question. I mean, maybe you could say, X percent of people found the Lord when they were teenagers, or like maybe you're pulling some sort of piece of data out of there. But this kind of goes back to what you're saying of like, why are we doing this in the first place? And if you're somebody, we had one of the possible ways to do a listening tour is what we called a jump start. It's like, maybe you just need to get to know people in the city. And then it's like, maybe you would lean heavier on those interpersonal questions of like, Stacy, tell me about how you got into this work. And, you know, tell me about how you met the Lord or whatever. And now you're building relationships, which is a great outcome of something like this. But there's something to do with data too, though, that is really important, because otherwise you could just go do a bunch of coffee dates and that would be great. And you'll build trust and you'll build relationships in the city. But there's something about having a chunk of data that I think is really important. I learned this in my work at Seattle's Union Gospel Mission. We were doing all this work around the city and this guy joined our team and he was great. And he just kind of documented what we were doing on a piece of paper. Like we had never done that before. Like, here's what we're doing on a piece of paper. And literally he became the expert. Like people were asking him questions now.
Yeah.
People were now going to him. We're like, we've been doing this for 10 years, you know?
Yeah.
And it was such an important thing for me to learn. I was like, whoa, when you put this stuff in writing, you have something. Like,
absolutely.
You've collected the story and now you get to tell the story, you know, at a very high level.
Absolutely. And there's some, you know, I think your team having enough of a sense of humor and honesty about the goals is really helpful. Some cities are further along in their journey that they are really thinking multi-dimensional, cross-citywide strategy, and they're in a fundraising moment.
Right.
And some of the data that they're collecting is really trying to understand, like, how big is the need? How could we leverage? How are we going to tie this out to dollars? How do we make these connections? And so the kind of data that they're looking at might be a little different because they're needing to tell a compelling story to a smaller audience. If that is one of the things you need out of your report, you can't say that to one another in the team. That's going to be a tricky moment because something that is completely relationally driven will be driving you kooky behind the scenes. So I think there's always going to be multiple audiences. It is an opportunity, I think, especially for evangelism teams that might be have been even operating for a little while or have a city network that's already there, is you can start to ask questions if you come back and ask people later on too. I mean, not all of them, but maybe there's like a question that we hold up every year and that starts to tell, like, is this story changing at all? Is another important thing that when you understand your baseline, you can then revisit over time and then understand what your trend lines are.
Yeah. And no, you know, no business would go about business without saying, how did we do this year? Like, what are our, you know, I mean, just some basic metrics of like, employee retention or like sales, just basic sales report or like your basic dashboard. It is a way to collect that data when you're talking about collaborative missional efforts in a city where we're really trying to pull together the Christian ecosystem to, you know, be on mission together. Who's telling that story? You know, who's able to, and is that story just someone's opinion or is that story a collected, you know, carefully collected and carefully produced story that is, you know, as close to the truth of what's happening as possible so that people can then act rightly. You know, it's like, wow, do we really not have any presence in this part of our city? We got to plant some churches over there. We've got to go, you know, it's that kind of an idea. So this really does, I think if this is done well, it really does lead to action, right? That's
absolutely,
it leads to action because you've been able to describe the situation and bring some clarity. And now people can see where and how to act, right?
Absolutely. It just informed action. It's informed action.
This could have been a very short, had you just said that at the beginning.
The two-word podcast, it would have been a record.
Our fastest ever. Well, I was gonna share this one idea and then I'll ask for your kind of final wisdom here, Stacy, but we did a conference with leaders in Seattle and Hebrews 10:24 was our key passage. Let us consider how to spur one another on toward love and good deeds, right? It's a great passage. And so we kind of came out like, yeah, how do we spur people on towards doing love and good deeds? And our speaker, he was a local Christian university president, and he said, oh, I actually did a paper on this verse. This is perfect. So I'm like, okay. So he said, it's one of the hardest verses in the Bible to translate, which is kind of interesting. But he says, what it actually says is, let us consider one another unto a release of love and good deeds. So it's like, as we consider, okay, Stacy, what are you guys doing? You know, like, and then you're like, yeah, here's what we're doing. What are you guys doing? What are you seeing? What are the problems? It's like, as we're considering this, what results is love and good deeds, as opposed to me trying to get you to do something. It's like, no, it's through the process of considering one another, Jesus's new command, I give you, love one another. It's like, there's something in that that actually results in an increase of love and good deeds. And to me, I was like, when I was thinking about talking with you today, I just kept thinking of that verse, because it's like, man, this is what this is all about. We're going to consider our brothers and sisters in the city. Maybe you're considering leaders in the city, and you're, you know, because you have a different aim or however. We're doing one like that right now in Ellensburg. We're making sure we got the mayor and the police chief and all kinds of people in our listening tour process. But the idea is, as we consider these things, there will be a result in, you know, the kingdom coming and the Lord's will being done in our city, which I think is pretty remarkable. But okay, Stacy, what are your kind of final words of wisdom? People are considering this. Maybe they've got an E-team that's starting to, like, what do we do? Why would this be a good choice for them? And yeah, final words of wisdom from you.
Yeah, I would say, I'll throw it back to you, Chris, which is, I think you and the team are such a good resource. If people are intrigued, it's hard to sometimes right size it, right? So you could look at other cities' reports and they're big and they're shiny and you're like, that's too big. Or maybe the way you're hearing us talk today doesn't feel hardcore enough. Like, we didn't talk enough about data and KPIs. I feel like Chris and the team really have the ability of work now with like dozens of cities who have gone through the process that could help right size you for the moment. I would say, like, easy does it, but do it. Like, being in a learning posture is always the way to be. Just finding what's right for this next stage, like taking the right next step, and CGM team can help people take the right next step.
Yeah, that's great. We do want to serve in that way. We do want to help because we think this is important. And we go back to, again, the beginning when Portland did this process. They created some basic tools, a little report, a little slide deck, you know, and it sounds incredible. If you go look at it, you're like, oh, okay. I mean, you know, it's like, that's it. That's a slide deck. But man, they've showed that to elder boards of churches. Yeah. They've showed that to leaders. And it stirs people, right? It's like, oh man, we're really not doing this well. One of the key takeaways from our survey in Seattle was 100% of people, leaders in Seattle, we had about 80 pastors take the survey and nonprofit leaders. 80 out of 80 said that evangelism is critical. 4% of those people said that they felt like they were doing evangelism. So it's like,
wow.
I don't even remember any of the other data. That was in 2018, but that's what launched our E-team, because we're like, this is a massive gap. We got to do something about this, you know? And so that informed action became just a total reality for us by going through this process. And so, yeah, thank you, Stacy, so much. So grateful for the way you've walked with us in this and your wisdom. And for everybody listening in on this, again, we would just love to keep walking with you. And we hope, you know, we hope that by talking through this and kind of prodding you in this, that we're somehow hoping to increase the level of evangelism in North America. So we hope this is an encouragement to you. Stacy, I wonder if you could just close us with a prayer for all those who are tuning in.
Absolutely. Lord God, we are yours and you take care of us. We're joyed to partner with you. And I just pray that your spirit feel really present to each person listening, and that they feel guided by you. We want to live under that grace cloud. Lead us and guide us in your love and your power. In the name of Jesus, amen.
What an encouraging conversation. To learn more about the resources shared in this podcast that can help you establish your goals and begin a listening tour in your own city, read reports from other cities who have completed a listening tour, or download the Adaptable Playbook, check out citygospelmovements.org. Join us next time for a conversation with a city leader with deep insight on step 6, introducing your E-team to the city.